So we have been exploring the three pillars that contribute to unity. We titled this as Celebrate One. Three pillars of unity: spiritual, missional, and relational. And if one of these pillars is missing, it often results in tensions in one of those areas. And we also believe in the value of celebration. Again, like I mentioned, celebrating Christ, celebrating his body, celebrating his bride, his beautiful bride. It's beautiful to be able to be a part of that and have and grow intentionally building a culture of celebration, that we're celebrating Christ first off, all that he has done for us. But we also get a chance to celebrate his body. We also get to celebrate us being one in Christ. We belong. I now get to call him Abba Father instead of being a stranger that's separated in darkness. I belong to him. What's very, very important to understand, what you tolerate and what you celebrate in your life, both produce an offspring, both produce fruit. So be careful of what you tolerate in life and be aware of what you're celebrating in your life, because it will produce fruit. So we choose to celebrate one Lord, one in faith, one baptism, one in Christ, one in purpose, one on mission, one body, one who is all and in you all. So we are intentional in celebrating the unity, and that unity in Christ will produce fruit from that unity, from that becoming one in Christ, much like being one in flesh with husband and wife who have come together and consummate all that God has designed, become one and bear fruit. And that's exactly what we get to do in Christ. There is fruit from our unification, our unity in the Father through the actions of Jesus Christ. And we work to do so, to be intentional, to prune off those things in our life that get in the way, preventing us to bring that fruit forth that God has designed us to bring and produce. He wants a production from his body. He wants produce, love, joy, peace. The fruits of the Spirit is what will emote, what will come forward, what will be a result of the unity. So the three pillars, I believe, that undergird the Christocentric unity begins with spiritual unity. See, if you don't understand spiritual unity, then the whole concept falls. The whole concept deteriorates and dissipates and becomes nothing, because if you don't realize who you are in Christ first, and if you're not unified with the Father through Christ Jesus, then the rest doesn't make sense. As a unified body, if you're not first in Christ, then you won't understand what the purposes that God has for you, nor your design. So we start with spiritual unity, unifying in Christ through the unifier, which is the Holy Spirit, who God pours out for free, pours out into you, into your heart by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this a little bit. And unity in the Spirit, not disunified by my spiritual order. See, we are spiritual beings who were created to live eternally with God. But sometimes this makeup, this three in one right here, mind, body, and spirit, sometimes it gets out of sync as well. Body, mind, spirit. Our mind, our soul is the handbasket that comprises of our mind, will, and emotions. Our attitudes come from there. And sometimes our soul or our body, you've heard me say this multiple times, will take a little bit more control of our lives and will actually lead us directionally when that's not how we're designed to be led, by the cravings of our body or the emotional idiosyncrasies that we default to out of anger or fear or spite or envy, whatever that might be. But our spirit is made alive in Christ and strengthened in him as we understand who we are in Christ, and as we feed that spirit man through his word and through communing with him in prayer and disciplining that flesh, as I mentioned earlier. What you feed thrives, and what you starve dies. That's a part of it. When we fast, we don't fast in a legalistic way or discipline ourselves in a legalistic way that's trying to prove or earn merit from God. But it's understanding that I'm going to delete this from my life, or I'm going to reduce this in my life, because I want to make more room for the Father to do such a supernatural work, to continue that perfect work in me. If I cluster up my whole life with my body and soul cravings, then guess what? My spirit man shrinks, and I don't get to live in that victorious design that God has given us access to. So what you feed thrives. Feed your spirit man. Starve the flesh man. And I don't mean literally, sometimes. Anyways, let the soul and body be in submission to the Spirit as you are submitted in one in Christ. spiritual order, body, soul, and spirit, made alive in Christ, made one in Christ. So missional unity is next. After we realize that, or understand through that perfect work of Christ, that we are one in Christ, one in the Father, through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in us, we get to live as Christ lived in the earth, unified in the Spirit, unified with the Father. Okay, missional unity is next. Because what happens is we often get stuck in the spiritual side of things and we forget that there's more that's required. So we forget the obedience part, the sentness that God saves you for a perfect and perfectly works in you and creates you and fashions you. But it's not just for me to be great and wonderful and enjoy that all by myself, but he has a mission that he wants us to continue in here in the now, here in the moment, here in our city. We are the sent ones, the apostles. We are sent by God. He was the first sent one. And now we get to continue that work of Christ in our earth and continue working as he did. And we can read that in the Gospels, and I encourage you to read through that. And if you missed these first two, I encourage you can go online and listen if you want to catch up. But missional unity is comprised of the understanding that we are the incarnation of Jesus continuing in the earth today. We, as the church, are the embodiment, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling now in you through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. So now Christ in you is what works through you, which sends you, now creates you to be on mission, equips you, and sends you so that you can be in partnership with him in the earth doing what he came to do and now gave us the job to do, and we continue on. We know Jesus was sent by God on mission to rescue, to redeem, to restore, and we are the continuation of Christ on mission in the earth. We're on mission. A believer that is not on mission misses the very basics of what a Christ follower is. All right? The very basics is we're on mission with Jesus. We're continuing the very work that Jesus set out to do. And we'll read some scripture so you don't just hear me talking about this and making it all up on the spot. And then Paul writes in Ephesians, we're going to start in Ephesians this morning, because we're going to talk about relational unity. Relational unity is the last pillar, and often it's the most evident pillar of compromised unity in the spiritual or missional. See, if you are not in unity with Christ in the Spirit, or if you're not in unity in mission, often relationship is where the tension comes out and reveals itself. And so we're going to look at that this morning and see what Jesus has to say through the scripture, through the writers that he inspired, and how we can walk in unity. So Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to start. And then I'm going to read back in John, and we'll continue on. 4 verses 1 says, I therefore, this is Paul writing, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's what we're unifying around. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. See, we start with unifying in Christ. We start with unifying in the Father. If we're not unified there first, it'll come out, like I mentioned, later on in our missional or our relational constructs and confines. And John chapter 17, we'll go back to where Jesus even talked about this before he was murdered. He prayed to the Father in verse 15 of John 17. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, so he's not just talking about the ones he has with them there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Jesus prayed that we would be perfectly one as he and the Father are one. Why? So the world will know that Jesus is not just another type of mythology, just another story. Now they see Jesus activated in his body, equipped in the body, sent in the body, doing the very continued work of Jesus Christ in the earth through love. Love is the only thing that the world will notice that you belong to Jesus. Why? Because the world's view of love is distorted. They don't understand it. It looks like an emotion. It looks like it's sexualized. It looks like it's whatever. It looks lustful. It looks selfish. But that's not the love that God showed us. God, he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus laid down his life for us. That was the perfect example of love. So what do we do too? We too nail ourselves, our flesh, our life, our selfish ambition to the cross. Bang it up there. Leave it there. Walk away and say, thank you, Jesus, for your perfect sacrifice and showing me the way, the truth, and thanks for the life that I get to encounter through walking in unity with the Holy Spirit in Christ. So, the opposite or opposing mindset that distorts, that deteriorates unity and disunifies us are willful acts to separate, to confuse, to disorientate, to divide, to disenfranchise. So my provoking to us as a body this morning, if you recognize these willful acts to separate the body, to confuse the body, to disorientate the body, to divide the body, or to disenfranchise the body, then you are witnessing a willful act to cause disunity amongst the brethren. Simple. Jesus prayed that we would be perfectly one as he and the Father. It's through an act, a willful act of surrender to Christ, that we too are as Christ in the earth, continuing as he exemplified for you and I to walk in that. And he gives us the Holy Spirit that gives us power to tread on serpents and demons and and willful acts of the enemy. We get to walk victorious in him because we have him inside us through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Followers of Christ, brothers, sisters, friends, we only separate from the highly consumeristic, radically individualistic, and extremely materialistic, all these licks, way that society and our culture promotes in its way of thinking, its ways of behaving, and its ways of believing. Separate from darkness, separate from this self-ambition, separate from this selfishness. It's about me. It's not about me. It's about the collective as a body. I get to be one, a part of the greater whole. That's awesome. Thanks, Jesus. But don't let your view be distorted and deteriorate the unity that God has designed us to live by being consumeristic, by being individualistic, by being materialistic, the same way our society exemplifies for us. Leave it behind. Nail it to the cross. Let it go. Separate yourself. Self, as you all know, it's what I want. It's all about me, right? We've been there. I've been there plenty of times. I still hit that wall every once in a while. And I have to make a conscientious decision to say, well, hold the phone. This is not what it's about. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about God. It's about me being in unity with him, the Father. He's a sovereign God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's just. He provides. He's everything. He's a strong tower that I can run into. He's everything that I could ever ask for. Why do I have to look to myself for the fulfillment that I want? Because I can't get it in self. I have to get it in Christ through that perfect unity of the Holy Spirit. Much like Adam and Eve, we have been known to do what we feel is right in our own eyes and make the decisions on our own behalf and pluck from the wrong tree, leading us to live separated from Christ and from his design for us as we seek self-fulfillment, preventing the capacity for the unity that God has so designed for us to walk in. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's freeing. It's liberty. It's joy. It's peace. And it's right standing, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of heaven. Now, here, in us. So Paul admonishes us and Philippians. And I'm going to go a little bit over time today, and I apologize. But I think this is very valuable that we wrap up these three unity pillars and understand what God is saying to us through Scripture. So Paul admonishes us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. This is the antidote to selfishness. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself in verse 5, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, he's the one that does this perfect work in you. You can't do this on your own. You need him. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He thought it robbery to rob God of his glory, to make his life all about himself. But everything he did pointed to God, pointed to the Father in heaven. It continues in verse 13 of Philippians 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Why? Because there's such a love for one another that we shine, that love light shines within us. Because God is love, and God dwells in us through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. So thus we too get to shine as his love shines through us. Verse 19 in the same chapter. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest and not those of Christ. There's so many grains and nuggets of truth that sets us free when we see ourselves in the Scripture and we reflect. Take off the dark glasses. Take off the broken glasses. Stop looking through the broken windshield of self, because guess what? It'll distort your view. It'll distort who you are in Christ. It'll distort your understanding of unity in him. But allow the Scripture to speak to you this morning. And as we seek the interest of Christ, what is those interests of Christ? We've talked about being in unity with him. We've talked about being on mission with him. And we also know from many weeks of exploration, we also know that we have much love for one another because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us that then transforms us, transfigures us into the very likeness of Christ here in the earth, displaying such radical love, such radical abandonment of self. So, when relationships are strained or compromised, it will most often come back to one of these first two Christocentric pillars being compromised. Or maybe even non-existent sometimes. Because we often choose to seek our own way, our own interests, rather than looking at the very Scripture that God gives, the very roadmap. See, I mentioned last week that the mission isn't the Bible. The mission isn't the church. The mission has a church. The mission has a Bible. The mission has you and I. You and I are not even the mission. The mission is beyond that. But it has you and I. We have a church. We have a body. We have a Bible. That's a roadmap for us. And if we choose to abandon self and seek the very methods and seek to understand who we are in Christ, the very design that Christ has for us, then we too get to be contributors to the very mission of God on earth, to see those that are far from God, both Christian and non-Christian actually, far from God sometimes in our realization and in our understanding of who we are in him. when we live selfishly or conceited, as Scripture was talking, in pursuit of our own interest, our mind has not become one in Christ. Our mind is not in the unity with Christ as he has designed us to be in unity with. Renew our minds, Holy Spirit, this morning, that we may see who we are, that we may see how we are meant to be and walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit that produces fruit in us. See, offense, hurt, these are touchy subjects this morning because we've all walked through them. Offense, hurt, anger, bitterness, resentment, contempt, self-seeking. This unifying behaviors or attitudes often are related, or you can go all the way back to some of the heart issues. It's something going on inside of here that's preventing a blockage where the Holy Spirit can flow through us, and that spring of living water creates new life in us, breaking away the dams that we put in place to protect ourselves and our selfish interest. Hey, it's okay. We've all been there, and we're all going to go through it again, these choices on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a yearly basis, however often we come up against this brick wall sometimes. We can choose. But these attitudes and these feelings that we have are signaling us that our spiritual order is out of sync with Christ. Why? Because these things come from the soul, the handbasket of our mind, will, and emotions. It's a signal that something's not quite in the surrender that it should be, and that's our spirit being made alive in Christ and saying, soul, oh soul, find rest in Christ, find peace, peace that transcends all things in Christ Jesus. But we continue sometimes to look for affirmation in others. We look for self-justification. We plead for attention sometimes through our varying behaviors. This is seeking for self-fulfillment outside of God's design. I want to let you off the hook this morning. It's a hard road to take, the self-seeking. Trying to fulfill everything in ourselves and on our own strength is difficult, it's challenging, and it's going to let you down. I know it does because I've been there myself, and many of you could vouch for the same thing. But we only can find our fulfillment in Christ. We only can find our peace in Christ. We can only find our hope and our joy in Christ, rather than in the things that our society tells us you can find happiness in, or joy, or peace, or love. We attempt to stand in replacement of a pillar, one of these unifying pillars, on our own strength and through our own lens that's distorted, or a paradigm that's been affected by hurt, by fear, by shame, by regrets, rather than in Christ, surrendering it, recklessly abandoning ourselves, giving it to God, saying, I know that you provide. I know that you conquered. I know that I have victory in you. I know that I can't do this on my own. I know it's a free gift of grace from God because of the mercy of our Father who sent Christ so that we too can have access and we can have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, relying on him and not on our own wisdom, not on our own strength, not on our own power, not even on our own decision-making sometimes. But when we are unified in Christ, then your fulfillment is found in Christ. Your healing is found in that unity. Your forgiveness and justification is found in that unity with Christ. You're right standing. You are justified. Your need for love, your need for peace, for hope, for long suffering, for joy, that's all found in unity with Christ, found in Jesus. So when our relationships first are unified with Christ, and we look to have our fulfillment found in Christ rather than even in one another. See, when we unify with Christ first, then all of a sudden our heart starts to change because the Holy Spirit starts to do a transfiguration in us and doing that perfect work in us, removing that bitterness and contempt and resentment and shame and guilt and whatever else might be there that hurts us, and allowing him to be filled in you to the fullness of the glory of God dwelling in you, working in you. This is wholeness. And it's only found in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through the grace of God, through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in you, as you are unified in the Holy Spirit, that you are healed, loved, restored. You're not merited through my own self-ambitions or even my self-righteousness, because we heard the scriptures before that those are just filthy rags. I can't do it. I can't even try to fathom that I somehow, why? It's let it go, surrender it. Say, God, it's only because of your grace, only because your love, I surrender. It's an act of will, a willful act of surrender to God. We can't do this on our own. We can't achieve this on our own. Body unity requires all three pillars to be in unity with Christ. We can let go and let God. It starts with belief, which then becomes faith, and faith grows into trust, and trust lets go through surrender. Those in Christ, young Padawans, that's your journey of growing in Christ, is belief to faith to trust to full surrender in Christ. And that relationship with Christ, it's a oneness, it's a surrender. And when I'm one in Christ, and I'm one in mission, I'm living out my purpose and design, guess what? All my relationships on mankind's earth, wonderful earth we're here, will benefit from that unifier. Luke 6 and 43, we talks about the tree. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart does our mouth speak. Jesus, how are we doing this morning, Lord? How's our relationship with you? How's our relational unity with you this morning? What fruit is speaking from my heart? Good fruit is born out of the unity of the Spirit of Christ in us. It doesn't bear dead works of the flesh. Doubt, fear, insecurity, anger, spite, self-ambitions, and on and on. Not self, 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 self is not the fruit of Christ in you. It's selfish abandonment. It's abandoning, reckless abandonment to self, saying, I don't want this. I am in you. I have a father. I'm your child. I belong to you. Thanks, Jesus. These are not the fruit we want to reap, the doubt, fear, insecurity, and on. So today, I encourage you, remind yourself when you feel these things, when you want to emote in these ways or behave in these act in these ways, stop, drop, and roll. You can hashtag that. I have many times, stop, drop, and roll. Just stop, drop, and roll. It's a fire you don't want to play with. Let go and let God. Belief, faith, trust, surrender it. New decisions today. New choices to walk in this unity. Walk in confidence in the unifier of the Holy Spirit. God has set in motion plans, gifts, tools, and vehicles to ensure provision for unity in the body. Let's continue in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We know this popular scripture text. We often look at it as leadership giftings, but it's not. Let's look at it clearly here. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, why? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed by every wave of doctrine, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, craftiness, deceitful schemes that the enemy will use against us to confuse us, to create doubt, to create anxiety, to create fear and insecurity. Among many other free gifts, he gave these ministry gifts to serve God and to serve the body, to equip, to build up, and to edify the body into a state of unity, spiritual manhood, maturity, filled with Christ unto the very likeness of the fullness, So what? That he will be all in all. If he's not all in your life, guess what? We're going to suffer in some ways. And I know that's something we all want, is to be him, to be the fullness in our lives. We want it to be all about Christ. We just get distracted sometimes and forget. He is all, and he is in all, and that is the fullness of Christ in us. The primary duty of ministry is not to marry, bury, console, comfort, sympathize, and somehow drag one another into heaven. That's not the point. See, ministry is a failure if it's not equipping, perfecting, and adjusting the saints for the work of the ministry, which in turn is how we engage with others. You are equipped to equip. You are maturing, and as you mature, you help others to grow and mature. That is the ministry. That is the relational unity. Because we have relational unity in Christ, we too get to be a part of the work within the body itself, maturing and growing up and building up and edifying, not tearing down and distorting and confusing and creating all kinds of disenfranchising and disunity in the body. That's not what we're designed to do and be and live in. It's an imperfect design that God hasn't designed for us. Because it's not really about me. All of us contributing to the building up of the body, all serving God and one another, all in unity and spirit and mission and relationship, all fitting in the individual unique place as a part of the greater whole. It's about the collective demonstration. Hear me, it's about a collective demonstration where we too as a body get to come together and practice and grow and mature together. And it's a demonstration of him being all in all. Following Jesus is not a solo sport. Don't do life alone. You are not designed for a lonely life. Ephesians 4 continues on in verse 15. Where am I at for time? 11:23. I'm competing with your bellies now. I'm almost done. I think it's very important, though, for us to learn how we can work in unity as a body, because he's got a purpose for us in this city. It's not to fight with one another and tear one another down, to cause confusion and disunity in the body. Right? It's all about him. And when it's all about him, then he is all in us. So verse 15 of chapter 4, rather speaking the truth in love, so sometimes you have to speak the truth, but do it in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working so properly, it makes the body grow, then it builds itself up in love. Joined in Christ, working properly, makes the body grow and building up in love. It continues on, though. A unified body, it actually is a new way of life. It's a new way of thinking. And this is how Christ has designed you and I to live in this unity. Verse 17 says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have, in verse 21 he says, heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So what? Verse 22, put off your old self, which belongs to the old and former manner of living and of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, verse 25, hear, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Why cut off your hand when you need your hand? Why disenfranchise from the body when you need the body as one? You are members of one another. So when you hurt your body, you're hurting your body. I know I'm getting excited here, sorry. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. But rather let us labor doing honest work with our hands so that we may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. See, you can only walk in forgiveness because when you understand that he forgave first. When you understand the value of his forgiveness, you too can walk in that same forgiveness. We, friends, family, beloved, body of Christ, we are called to put away the old manners, attitudes, behaviors, customs, traditions, desires, as they are contrary to the unity in the Spirit of Christ. We are called to seek renewal in our minds, refreshing in the Holy Spirit, revitalization in our life in Christ, called to conformity in Christ and obedience in Christ. Reflecting his unified body as individuals and part of a greater whole. Christ-like relationships that serves well in a post-Christian context is simply as the relationships that we find modeled by Christ. Get in the Gospels, read about Christ and his life. Whenever you gather to do this in remembrance of me, gather with him centralized in your life. The three things we rally, and this is trite, but the three things we rally around is this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are the center of my life, Jesus. We rally around the centering, the centralization of Jesus. We intentionally centralize our habits, our lives, our behaviors, our cognitions, our emotions, our relationships around Jesus. In our small groups, when we are having coffee, when we're talking with our neighbor or our friend or our body member, or our family member. Whatever we do, we live in realization of being unified in the Spirit, unified on mission, and unified in relationship, both with Christ and one another. So that's why we celebrate one. All of the things we've explored in these three pillars of unity supports, enhances, encourages, empowers, equips, reinforces our common language, our symbols, story, theology, which is the practice, theology and practice, which is enacting theology, in mutual submission to one another. Gathering demonstrates our unity, and it also nurtures our unity. And finally, unity commissions the church into life in community on mission. By getting together, we stir up the gifts in one another. We spur on one another to do good deeds, to do the good works that the Holy Spirit wants to release through you in love, which is why we cannot forsake the gathering together, as Hebrews talks, the author of Hebrews in 10. Do not forsake gathering. This is the body. This is the full intention. This is the unity that God described and ascribed and prescribes for us, so that we live in perfect harmony with him first and with one another. Let's pray.